We're actually going to be in the book of Hebrews this morning, Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. So last week we started a new series about the celebrating the giver of good gifts, and particularly what we started to look at wasn't so much the giving of gifts, but the receipt of gifts, and particularly the receipt of God's gifts, the gifts that he gives us and that are represented at Christmas time. And so we're going to continue that this morning, looking at the gift of hope. So I don't know about you, but how many of you have been having a steady stream of USPS drivers pulling in and out of your house, delivering that cardboard box with the little swoosh on it? Everyone knows the one I'm talking about, you know, the Amazon box. It used to be the JCPenney and Sears boxes that used to show up, but now it's Amazon. So the packages, I know about our house, the packages of not just Amazon, but other places as well. But it's fun to watch each box come in, and you know that the reason is you know that inside each box is an expression in some way of one person's love to another. And that's really what the gifts that we give at Christmas time are. They're expressions of our love for each other. And it's fun to give gifts. You ever notice that? It's fun to give gifts. You know, I remember as a kid that you know, we were excited to receive gifts, but I also remember being excited to give gifts. It was fun, and that's really the source, you know. God just seems to know stuff. You ever notice that? God just seems to know stuff. And he said, that's why he said it's more blessed to give than to receive. And the reality is that I think that when we really consider it, giving of gifts is just fun. You know, maybe you could translate that scripture. It's more fun to give gifts. It's fun because it means that it represents someone's love one for another. And Christmas as a holiday, what we celebrate at Christmas time is a result of God's love for each one of us. You know, the John 3:16 says what? For God so loved the world. And so we know that love is the bottom line. It's the motivating factor. It's what motivated God to send his son Jesus, and the whole reason we have Christmas. And this week we're going to move on. So we looked at love last week, the gift of love. We looked at a biblical definition of love, which of course the most well-known one we all know from is from 1 Corinthians. We went through that and talked about what love is, and we looked at some other things as well in terms of God's love for us. And this week we're going to continue on by looking at receiving the gift of hope. Gift of hope. And I know I've shared with you many times before, but as a girl, when I was growing up at the Sanders house, packages appeared under the tree pretty much from the time the tree got put up. My mom normally had Christmas gifts already purchased before we went, you know, before we got the tree and had the tree set up. And so pretty much right after the tree would be put up and decorated, gifts would begin to be put on that. And so in our house, somewhere within a few days after Thanksgiving, all the way through Christmas, we spent with gifts under the tree. And of course, you know what that means when there's a gift under the tree and it has your name on it, you realize what you're supposed to do with it. And this is a source of contention at our house now. But we would do, at our house, we would do what I think anyone should do. If there's a gift under the tree with your name on it, you pick it up. And you feel it, you weigh it, you know. We would move it back and forth and listen really intently. Kind of think of how big it was, you know, the dimensions of the box and what noise it made when you shook it. We shook it gently, but... So we would spend those weeks approaching Christmas trying to figure out, and it drives my wife crazy, I got to tell you that, it drives my wife crazy that I still like to do that. I like to pick the presents up, I like to shake them, I like to move it back and forth and try to guess what's in it. It's part of Christmas for me. And I came up, honey, with a spiritual reason for it this week. It's good to know, right? It's because when you picked up that box... and you thought about what might be in it, you had hope for what might be in that box. So see, it is spiritual. Trying to figure out what's in you, it's generating hope. And hope is a good thing, right? Now, why did we have hope that something was in the box that we wanted? Now, I have to tell you that my mom, she enjoyed the whole thing just as much as we did. Because for her, it was a challenge to disguise it. And so, there was one thing that for years somebody got every single year, to the point to where it kind of became you knew which box it had in it, because it was a block of lead. I think it came from a printer back when they used to set type with hot lead. And it was about this big, yay big, just a block of solid lead, and it was heavy. I mean, that thing probably weighed 5 pounds. It was heavy. And so she started putting that. One year she was trying to disguise something that one of us was getting. And she was afraid that we'd figure it out. Or, you know, that was kind of the game that she liked to play. And so she wrapped that block of lead in the box to throw us off the trail. I can remember her putting marbles in. She would put marbles in a box. She would do all sorts of stuff to try to disguise it. One year she got the bright idea to hide my gift in the freezer and send me on a goose chase. She wrapped a note. The only thing is she didn't realize that pellet guns have a leather seal in them that when they freeze, they get hard and they break. So I pulled out a pellet gun that was frozen, immediately pumped it up and busted the seal. Never shot that gun. But I got a different one. Because Dad wanted to shoot it too, so he wasn't going to let that go. But the point is this, is that there was hope in our hearts for what was in the box. And we believed that what was in the gifts was something that we desired. Why was that? Why did we have hope that what was in the box was something that was good and something that we desired? It was because we knew who wrapped it. We knew who put into the box what was in there. And we knew it was someone who loved us dearly. And it was someone who desired for us to have the desires of our hearts within boundaries. You know, as parents, we understand that. We want our children and our loved ones, it's just as people, we want our loved ones in particular to have the desires of their heart. That's something we want for them. And so because we know someone loves us, because I knew Mom and Dad loves us, and I also knew that I had told Mom and given her ideas of things I really enjoyed, that I desired. They were the desires of my heart, you know, important things. Verdi birds. Do you remember that? Little helicopter that flew around in a circle on a wire. I wanted one of those in the worst way. I knew she understood the desires of my heart because I'd made them known to her. I'd made them known to her, and I believed that she loved me. And we told Mom, not Dad, because Dad was kind of forgetful. So we made sure that Mom knew. And frankly, Dad made sure that Mom knew what his list was. In fact, of the matter, I think I've told you before, he would leave a catalog open on the kitchen table with a pencil or something like that, pointing at an item on a page. He would just leave it there. He wouldn't say anything to anybody, but he would leave it there, and you knew exactly what it meant. I'd like this for Christmas. We knew that she knew the desires of our heart. We knew that she wanted us to have the desires of our heart. And so we had hope that that's what was in the box. And so this morning I want to talk a little bit about what hope does for us and receiving the gift of hope that Christmas has for us will do for us. Because the reality is that hope is a really good thing. You know, the scripture says that a merry heart doeth well like a medicine. Hope is similar. Hope is, it's really like a tonic or an elixir. It's something that it has properties in it that does something for us. And I want to talk about how important it is that we receive the gift of hope and what it will do for us if we'll do that, if we'll receive the hope that Christmas represents for us. Reading from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 9. Now understand that the prior to this passage in Hebrews hasn't been really positive in nature. Okay? He's been talking about people who fell away, who knew Christ, who knew God, and kind of walked away from him. So it hasn't been real positive, and so far the tone of this passage has not been super positive. But in verse 9, he changes it. The writer changes it. He says this, though we speak in this way, yet in your case. So literally what he's saying is, okay, there's this set of people over here, and they've kind of walked away, and once you've walked away, it's really, really hard to come back. And even the, but that's not you. That's what he's saying here. That's not you. Yet, though we speak in this way, yet in your case, beloved, we feel sure of better things. Things that belong to salvation. For God is not unjust so as to overlook your work and the love that you have shown for his name in serving the saints as you still do. And we desire each one of you to show the same earnestness, and listen to this, to have the full assurance of hope until the end so that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. This morning I want you to first consider that a biblical picture of hope. If you read through the scriptures and you see the word hope translated throughout the Bible, read it in context and listen to what it's really mean. You'll get a picture, an overall picture of what biblical hope is. Okay? And here's what's important to realize is that there is a real distinction with the way we generally use hope, the word hope, in a kind of everyday situations, and what we see represented in the word hope in Scripture. There's a real fundamental difference. In most of the time, when you use the word hope in general usage and saying, this week I'm saying, I hope the transmission in my truck is not toast. But what do you hear when I say that? You hear uncertainty, right? Most of the time when we use the word hope, we're speaking in an uncertain manner. It's something that we're not sure about. See that, as you read in Scripture though, what you'll discover that the way Scripture treats the word hope is different. It's actually the polar opposite of that. It doesn't use the word hope in referring to something that's uncertain. Hope is instead an expression of certainty. You hear that when he says, have the full assurance in verse number 11 of Hebrews 6 that we just read. We desire each one of you to show the same earnestness to have the full assurance of hope until the end. Why is that? Later on in the same book, in Hebrews chapter 13, he says this, the writer says this, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Biblical hope is built on the character of God. What do we know about God's character? It's unchanging. It's unchanging. That means we have an assurance. It's a certain thing. A biblical picture of hope, it's not a wishing. Most of the time when we use the word hope, what we're really talking about is wishing. It's something that we have a desire for, but we're unsure of whether or not it's really going to happen. A biblical picture of hope, because it's built on built on the foundation of God's character, is certainty. It's a confident expectation. And as you listen to the way hope is translated in the Word of God, you hear a confident expectation. It's kind of really directly and really closely related to the word trust. In Scripture, the concept of hope and trust are very, very similar. They're the same. So what you see when you contemplate the biblical picture of hope is one of that full assurance, a confident expectation. It's a certainty. It's not uncertainty. And that's really the hope that we have represented at Christmas time. So let's talk about what happens when you receive hope. What hope is? What do you gain when you begin to really take in and experience and incorporate the hope that we have represented in Christmas into our lives? The first thing is this: hope is a sustainer. It's a sustainer. You need hope to make it. You need hope to make it. We sang that chorus, but I thought it was really appropriate. It talked about walking along the hilly path, the ascending way. They're talking about life is an uphill climb. Talked about being under life's crushing load. You ever felt like you've been under life's crushing load before? Just seems like, man, when it rains, it pours. Right now, the Sanders family has a vehicle curse upon it. Andrew and Desiree's transmission blew up. The radiator went out in my truck and maybe took the transmission with it. We don't know. My mom's check engine light came on. Desiree said that to my mom the other day. She was talking on the phone. What is it with Sanders and cars right now? Living in a sin-soaked world will use you up. It'll feel like life is uphill. You remember, that's the way your parents used to have to walk to school. 6 miles uphill both ways. Snow in the middle of May. Right? And they didn't have shoes for their feet either. Life is like that. It's hard. Sometimes I kind of identify with the writer of that carol. It's like, along life's difficult way, under that crushing load, you need hope to sustain you. Hope keeps you alive. I like the way John Piper puts it. He put it this way. He says, we have this reservoir of hope. And it's important to keep that reservoir of hope filled for difficult days. Because when times come, when you just run out of strength, you need to have a reserve to pull from. I used to drive a Kawasaki 250, little motorcycle. I actually liked that little motorcycle really well. You know, it was not a bike you wanted to drive for more than 10 miles on the freeway. It just wasn't that kind of motorcycle. But it was fun to drive around town. It was light. It was easy to handle. It was all of that. It was fun to drive. But it had a tiny little tank. Now, it got 65 or 70 miles of the gallon, so you could go a ways on that 2-gallon tank. But there was this switch on the bottom. If you guys that rode motorcycles understand what I'm talking about. Normally, you had that in the normal position, the on position. There was an off position and there was an on position, but there was a third position. And it had the word, or the letter R stamped on mine. It wasn't the whole word, just the letter R. It stood for reserve. Because guess what else this motorcycle didn't have? It didn't have a gas gauge. So typically, I would be driving down the road, and if I wasn't checking it closely, all of a sudden it would start to spit and sputter. And I would just reach down and I would turn that little lever from on to R. And I knew I had about 15 or 20 miles thereabouts. Because that was the reserve. You flipped it to reserve. You need a reserve. You need, and that's what hope does. Hope is a reservoir of strength that sustains you. So hope is a sustainer. You need that reservoir built up. And that's why it's important for you to consider the message of Christmas and to understand the hope and the certainty that you have for the future. Because it will give you a reserve tank, so to speak. So when life gets tough, when something doesn't go your way, you pull on that reserve. You know, we have reservoirs in many around here. We don't have anything really like that in Michigan because water's not a big deal for us. We're surrounded by a lot of water. But there are places in the world, other places where it's very common to to have man-made lakes. They call them reservoirs. And they're there for really difficult times when it doesn't rain for a very long time, and almost as a matter of last resort in some of those places. But they're there to act as a reserve. So when the normal supply runs out, you always have the reserve. Hope functions that way. Hope is your reserve. And why is it your reserve? Because it's an assurance that you have, that you know who holds your future. It's a sustainer. It's a strengthener. Hope will give you strength that you just... Hope is an amazing thing. Hope's an amazing thing. I've shared with you before that one of the most striking things I ever heard someone say in a message was when a guy who was talking to us about opening a teen challenge center for teens. He came to, when it was before we were pastoring here, he came to the Dundee Assembly where we were attending at the time. And he talked about opening a teen challenge center directly pointed at, I think it was like 12 to 16, 17-year-old kids. It was to make it an actual like teen challenge center. And he said what caused them to want to do this is something that they the teen challenge leadership heard at a secular conference talking about the crisis that young people were experiencing at the time. And they talked about one of the characteristics of the generation that was upcoming, and that would be people right now who are somewhere in their late 20s into early 30s. Wes and Kristen's age, somewhere around there. And they said one of the scary characteristics about this particular generation is they have no hope. And because they have no hope, they have no fear. See, hope gives you strength to carry on to the goal. And when you have no hope, we know that people, when they get desperate, they do incredible things. They'll incredibly bad things usually. Hope will sustain you. It will strengthen you. And so we need to, as we approach Christmas, we need to look at Christmas and see the hope, the certainty that we have in our salvation. Jesus came, the Savior of the world came to secure our eternity. That there is nothing that anybody can do that can separate us from God's love. And there is nothing that anyone can do to take eternity with Him away from you. Nothing. Not one thing. There's nothing ultimately. Will you experience pain here? Yeah, there's pain here to be experienced. But nobody can take eternity away from you. That's the hope of Christmas. And having that hope and that certainty and that security, that assurance, will strengthen you to carry on. Think of some of the incredible stories you've heard. Think about do you remember hearing the story about the guy who fell in some sort of a, I don't know if it was a, it was in a mountain, got jammed down in a crevasse or whatever, and he literally cut his own arm off to get out? What kind of strength did it take to perform a self-amputation of a limb? That was his hope. The hope he knew that if he could get out of there, he had hope to survive. That's what gave him the strength to do that. Hope is an amazing thing. Hope will sustain you. It'll keep you alive. It'll strengthen you. And finally, we also see from verse 12, it says, want you to have the full assurance of hope until the end. And the end of verse 11, it says, so that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Hope is a motivator. Hope's a motivator. How many of you have ever seen a sports team? They're getting absolutely pounded. Absolutely pounded all game long. Then all of a sudden, something turns in the game. And they make up a few points. And they see the margin shrink a little bit. and suddenly they have hope. You know what the coach on the other side is saying? Don't give them hope. We want them to believe they can't win, because the minute they have hope, they start doing things that they normally wouldn't be able to do or would do in a game. And all of a sudden you see the hope of, you ever say, that's how comebacks happen. That's how comebacks happen. Hope is a motivator. Hope will push and pull you forward. And as you look at Christmas, as I looked at that gift under the tree, it pulled me to Christmas Day. Right? Or Christmas Eve, depending on what that year's schedule was for opening our gifts. Our house, sometimes it was Christmas Eve because we were going to drive down to the Yoder Christmas on Christmas Day. It just depended. It pulled me towards Christmas. The hope of what was in the package pulled me towards Christmas. Hope will pull you towards the finish line. It's so important that as you experience Christmas, that you fill your hope reservoir. Fill that reservoir up. Because guess what? January and February are right behind us. They're right behind Christmas. You know, February when it's still cold, you're tired of snow. Some of you are already tired of snow. I'm not quite. Monty was tired when she heard him talk about snow. I'm not quite tired of it yet. I like to see it on the ground for a while. But by February, I'm over it. I'm ready for spring. Hope, you'll need your reservoir of hope filled. Trials are going to come. Hope will come. Hope will keep you going. Stand with me this morning. It's so important that you receive God's hope this year at Christmas time.